ونستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أبريد الله سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness for me and for you and for all the Muslims. I believe in him and I trust him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. By Allah's permission, we start in our 32 or 32nd class from the explanation of the book Bulughul Maram. And today is Tuesday, which is 14 of Rajab for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 3rd of October for the year 19 November, the 3rd of November for the year 1998. And last week we had spoke about Al-Janaid, and since we didn't finish this subject, so today will be part 2 concerning Al-Janaza. And last week we finished from the book Bulugh al-Maram until hadith number 458, which concerning the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said in his prayer of Janaza. Before I proceed in my class today with hadith reported by Jabir. Hadith reported by Jabir in page number 195, which I had mistakenly classified the hadith to be da'if. But I found that the hadith is hasan, the good, as a result of other narration. And the hadith reported by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكبر على جنائزنا أربعة ويقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب في التكبيرة الأولى. That Jabir reported that the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make four takbirah. on the janazah prayer, and he used to recite Fatiha al-Kitab, the opening chapter, after the first takbirah. The hadith is Hasan, is good. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and your pardon for this mistake, inshallah. So if anybody has the book, please make this correction. And we had stated this, I had stated this in the last class. From this hadith, we understand that the takbir of the janazah is four takbirat. You say Allahu Akbar, and after the first takbirah, you will recite the Fatiha. You don't recite the opening dua. You recite the Fatiha. And after this, you will recite the durood or the salah ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, to the end. And after this, you will supplicate for the deceased person, and we give one of them last week, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, Allahumma aghfirlahu warhamhu wa'afihi wa'fu anhu wa'akrim nuzulahu wa'wasi' madkhalahu wa'ghsilhu bilma'i wa'thajj wal-barad. And after this, he made the fourth takbira. And he will say, Allahumma la tafkinna ba'da wa la tahrimna ajrah. And after this, he say, As-salamu alaykum unto your right. Or you may make taslim to the right and to the left. Okay? I repeat again, the hadith is Hasan bishawahidi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Last hadith that we discussed last week was hadith number 458. So today, inshallah, we talk about hadith number 459 in page 197 from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, Attainment of the Objective. And alhamdulillah, brother Abdul Bari had came from East Orange last weekend, and he brought copies of Bulugh al-Maram. So if anybody would like to purchase a copy, he usually put his books out after Jum'ah. And you should get this book to follow in the class, and also you can benefit by making notice and mark the ahadith, because it's not all the hadith that he say authentic here means it's authentic. So again, the book is available, and brother Abdul Bari is selling it after Friday, or you may give him a call, his phone number on the bulletin board outside, and order your copy if you want. Hadith number 459, page 197, وَعَنْهُ ذَكْنِينْ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُمْ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ فَأَخْلِصُوا لَهُ الدُّعَاءِ. رواه أبو داود وصححه ابن حبان. This hadith إسناده حسن. The classification or the degree of this hadith is حسن, is good. And this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood وابن ماجه and البيهقي Ibn Hibban. And the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that when you pray on the dead person, when you make the janazah prayer, make a sincere dua, make sincere dua for the deceased person, because we are here still alive. This person is already dead. He needs any assistance, any help that he can get. And our supplication, it can be beneficial for him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this salah, salat al-janazah, to be a means of mercy, forgiveness. So we did not make the salah any kind of salah, but we should imagine ourselves in this position, that somebody in a terrible condition, that he need our help, he need our assistance, that we should make dua for this person, that we should be sincere in our dua, that we should be concerned about making dua
from our heart to this person. Hadith number 460. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أسرعوا بالجنازة فإن تكو صالحة فخير تقدمونها إليه وإن تكو سوى ذلك فشر تضعونه عن رقابكم. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported, hadith number 460. The hadith is reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us to hasten and to hurry up, preparing the janazah, the washing, the prayer, the shrouding, the burial. Don't take your time and drag your feet, but hurry up and do it. Okay? Why? Because there is two possibilities there. That this person who just passed away, he can be good or bad. Good, that means he did a good deed. He was concerned about his prayer, he was concerned about fulfilling the obligation towards the Muslims, okay? And fear Allah. Or that he's an evil person, doing haram things. If he's a good person, so you shouldn't delete him. Because deleting him, you are deleting him from the reward and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for him. So hurry up and let him go to his grave, because this is the time and this is the beginning station for him to start to receive this reward and this goodness. Okay? And if he's an evil person, if he's a bad, so he shouldn't be among you. Because this person is an evil. And when there is an evil among you, you should get rid of it. Alright? So under any case, you need to hurry up and prepare this janazah and take it to the grave. And being the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to hurry up with the janazah, this does not mean for us when we carry the bed, which he has the dead person in it, that we shouldn't be shaking the person, okay? That we should be concerned, okay? If we're driving, we shouldn't be driving crazy. But that means like some people, they put it as example in the freezer for 3 days. Some people keep him until the family come from east and west and whatever it is for a whole week. This is not right. This is not the proper way. Some people even, they ship it back to overseas or to their original country that he born in. There's no need for all these things, okay? So from this hadith we understand that the sunnah is to rush and to hurry up and to finish the janazah, that we should be gentle and kind towards the dead person, that this for the benefit of the deceased person, that we hurry up and finish his janazah. The next hadith, hadith number 461. وعنه أي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد الجنازة حتى يصلى عليها فله خيرات ومن شهدها حتى تدفن فله قيراطان. قيل وما القيراطان؟ قال مثل الجبلين العظيمين. متفق عليه. ولمسلم حتى توضع في اللحد. This hadith, which is reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and this hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us the person who is witness, or he go and be there with the janazah, with the dead body, and accompany the janazah until they make the prayer, he will get a reward equal to one qirat. Okay, you will get a reward equal to one qirat. And the person who will accompany the janazah until they bury the janazah, he will get two qirat. The question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is this qirat or qiratain? He said it's similar to two great mountains. Okay? For you to accompany the janazah, at least until they pray, perform the prayer. You get one qirat. One qirat almost like a big mountain. Now you keep the company of this and you go with the janazah until you bury the janazah under the ground. Now you get two qirat. And the two qirat is equal to two big, huge mountains. We should be concerned about this kind of reward. The hadith is authentic. وللبخاري من تبع جنازة مسلم إيمانا واحتسابا وكان معها حتى يصلى عليها ويفرغ من دفنها فإنه يرجع بقراطين كل قراط مثل جبل أحد. It's same kind of meaning except that he said that is going to be the qirat. Each qirat is similar to the mountain of Uhud. This is the mountain which is the second battle in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place. It's a great, big, huge mountain called Uhud. Okay? Page 198, hadith number 462. وعن سالم عن أبيه أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر يمشون أمام الجنازة رواه الخمسة وصححه ابن حبان وعلاه النسائي وطائفة بالإرسال. This hadith is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi wal-Nisa'i wa-Ibn Majah. Shaykh al-Albani hafizahullah had classified this hadith to be authentic. And Salim from his father, he said that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar, they walking in front of the janazah. And as we said before, the janazah can be given to the dead person or to the bed that they lay down the dead person in it. Or the word janazah can classify both. That means the dead person and the casket or the bed. We don't use, you understand, in Islamic countries we don't use this casket. Okay? We have something like this structure that he emblems as a dumbbell but made out of wood, so it's hard. And it has four structure or four legs or whatever you want to call it, and the people carry it on the shoulders. Okay? So the dead person laying down on this bed, we call this also to bezer janazah. Okay? So the proper way to go with the janazah for the walking people to be walking in front of the janazah. Okay? So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa saying to follow the janazah does not mean you have to be walking behind the janazah. And some of the scholars explain that those people who are walking, they be walking in front of the janazah, and the people who's riding, they be behind the janazah. Okay? But under any condition, wherever the person walk, still he consider be following the janazah. The next hadith. حديث reported by أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت نهينا عن اتباع الجنائز ولم يعزم علينا. متفق عليه. أم عطية may Allah be pleased with her, she said نهينا, we been forbidden, okay, to follow the جنازة. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not make it restricted or he didn't emphasize it. Okay? That means he discouraged us. Okay? And this that means you call makruh, is disliked. That means this for the women, not to follow the janazah. But if they follow the janazah, they went behind the dead person to the grave, is not haram. As long as they don't do anything forbidden, displeasing to Allah, like wheeling or making noise, and as long as they do not go in a clothes that is not proper. As long as they dress in the proper way, Islamic way, covering themselves, no be mixed in between men and women, and that they did not do anything displeasing to Allah, they can go, but it's better for them not to go. Okay? And the hadith is authentic in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumullah. Hadith 464. وعن أبي سعيد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا رأيتم الجنازة فقوموا فمن تبعها فلا يجلس حتى توضع. وعن أبي سعيد reported from أبو سعيد that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying إذا رأيتم الجنازة فقوموا. When you see the janazah passing in front of you, stand up. And if you follow the janazah, don't sit until they will put the bed down, or until توضع, that means to be put inside the grave. And this is recommended. And some of the scholars, they said that this is been abrogated. Okay? That regardless a person see janaza, a Muslim janaza or kafir janaza, he used to stand up to show the greatness, to show respect for, and to be admonishment for him and reminder about the death. You are not standing for the janaza itself, but you're standing for the rahba or the fear of remembering what it can be happening to you at any time, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes this. But this been later on been abrogated. And some of the scholars they said is not, but the order here is not to be a must, but is recommended. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. If he stood up, it's okay, but it's not a must. And here in Sharh al-Hadith, or ما يفيده الحديث, he said, استحباب القيام للجنازة. This is for those people who said that is not obligated. He said, it's preferably, okay, that you stand up when you see the janazah. And for those people who follow the janazah, they are not supposed to go and sit and rest until the janazah been put down, or put down, that means put inside the grave. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
This is going to like something here when you talk about
First, what I said, that you should stand when the janazah passed by you. If you're sitting, as example, like some people, they have places which they gather and sit in front of their houses, or they sit in a coffee shop outside or anything like this. So if janazah passing by, those people who are sitting out of respect. Yes, I say don't do, but if you understand, you don't do this while you drive in a car, you don't do this outside the church in the street. So I say not to attend. There is a certain time, as example, when I don't know how to do it inside the church, or when they put it down, so the time that is known that they're going to pray or they say whatever they're preaching, you move away from this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's going to be even worse if a relative going in and trying, you know, and then he, you know, I just cannot visualize a Muslim going in there and people coming to tell him I'm sorry and then he walks out.
You can tell them I'm sorry, it's no problem. Tell them quite welcome, whatever you want to tell them. But what I'm saying, you're showing up there, as example, you stand there waiting outside the church. All the people who come and they see your face there, you don't have to be inside the church. You can be in the parking lot, everybody sees you. But this is the bottom line, الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, those who did not attend falsehood, those who did not participate in something like, you are not, you have to judge yourself. If you could not, so forget about the whole thing.
See, that's Allah, you know, if it was a man or a woman, you know, people gonna be coming and the least is gonna happen, they're gonna shake their hand. I mean, if he's gonna say, I can't shake your hand, I can't come and I can't, they may be better off not even doing.
They have to judge this for themselves. If they're strong enough to tell them it's against my religion, I'm not coming inside, but they show also sympathy. Otherwise, as a gamble, they can go later on and visit this family or something like that. Basically, I'm not here, you understand, to tell the people how to do or not to do it, but if they want to participate, they can participate, but not in the time of the service.
Yeah, because usually they, after whatever they have inside the church, they bring the body out anyway and take it to the grave.
Yes, yes. My main concern is that he doesn't stand there in a time when they're preaching or doing whatever prayer or things like this. Because this is what is against our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Hadith number 465. Page 199, عن أبي إسحاق أن عبد الله بن يزيد رضي الله تعالى عنه أدخل الميت من قبل رجلي القبر وقال هذا من السنة أخرجه أبو داود. Hadith is reported by Abu Ishaq from the authority of Abdullah ibn Yazid and the hadith in the collection of Sunan Abu Dawood. The hadith is authentic. That Abdullah ibn Yazid, may Allah be pleased with him, he put the dead body in the grave from the side of his legs and side. And he said that this is the sunnah. Let's imagine this is the qibla here. The grave is supposed to be where is the person, you're going to lay him down, he's supposed to be in his right side facing the qibla. Okay? So the head is here and the legs is here. So the proper place for you to bring the dead person down is to bring him from this side. Okay? So you have the width and you have the length for the grave. So you're going to choose what? The width. And this is the head and this is the leg. So you bring him down from the, where is the position that the leg is going to be. So his head will come down first, okay, and go in the grave, and after this, so this is, you bring him from this side. Is this understood? Is this clear? Okay, this is the grave sitting like this facing the qibla. Mm-hmm. and this is the web, and this is the link. You bring him from the web of the grave. Because the person, he lay down facing the Qibla. So the length of the grave is longer than the web, is it? Alright. This is the head. For me to be facing the Qibla, and on my right side, my head has to be here, my legs have to be here. So now, those people who bring me down, they bring me from here or from here, they will bring me head first. And they go down like this. So finally, my leg will be where? In the end of the grave, to this side. So this is what they call it, the leg of the grave. I don't know how I can explain it better. You want to explain it to somebody?
No, everybody.
Except somebody.
No, even somebody.
Fahmani, I wish him. I thought you tried to imagine the picture. This is what I was worried if you got it.
The first time you said it.
Yes, I didn't.
Okay. Okay. This is what I like all of work like in principle. Not the principle of the school now, okay, don't charge it now. We're talking about the principle that means 1 + 1 = 2. So when you say 1 orange + 1 orange, it's still 3 oranges.
3 apples,
okay? Anyway. Alright. And the next hadith number 466. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور فقولوا بسم الله وعلى ملة رسول الله. Okay, that when you put your dead people inside the grave, say what? In the name of Allah and according the deen or the religion or the way of worship of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, what you say, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 467. Wa an Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal kasru azmil mayyiti ka kasrihi hayya. Again, an Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal كسر عظم الميت ككسره حيا. رواه أبو داود بإسناد على شرط مسلم. وزاد ابن ماجه في حديث أم سلمة في الإثم وهذا ضعيف, الزيادة ضعيفة والحديث صحيح. ذات حديث reported by عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها ذات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, what the meaning is, breaking the bone of a dead person is equal or similar to breaking it while he's alive. So what this hadith is telling us, that we have to treat the janazah with respect. It's not because your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister dead that means it's it. They still have the same honor, the same respect, the same way as they alive. That we have to be kind and gentle to them, and we have to be so concerned about how to handle them, how to bury them, okay? And that we don't mess up with them. We don't say that these people already dead, let me say, understand the brain for $50, okay? Or the eye for $200, or whatever it is. And Sheikh Ibn Baz had used this hadith as a proof or evidence for utilizing the Muslim body as parts for other persons. And he said that the Muslim is respected life or dead. Okay? And he said that the kafir, there is no respect for his body. If there is a need for it, it can be taken from, but not from a Muslim. Okay? Not for a Muslim. And this is a new issue, but the scholars are different about it. This is not something you understand that happened in the time of Rasulullah SAW. So the scholars nowadays, they have to exercise their opinion and see if this can be done or not supposed to be done. Okay? But one of the people that we respect their opinion highly, which is Sheikh Ibn Baz, Hafizahullah, he says that this could not be done. You could not take a kidney, you could not take his leg, you could not take anything like this. Okay? So Rasulullah said, you break his bone dead the same way as if you break it while he's alive.
Let's say that the person, just before he died, and maybe let's say his daughter needs a kidney. And he says, take my kidney and give it to her. Is that okay? Just before. And then when he dies, he takes the kidney and gives it to his daughter. So I don't understand. Is he better when he goes and leaves the
body? Because you have two kidneys.
Yeah,
you can live with one. See, like some people drive in, sometimes there's no spare tire.
Yeah.
Allah knows best. It's better, I understand, to leave it for the scholar. But basically, at least for us, the way how we treat our dead people, okay? And we have to cover their private parts, that we should carry them gently, that we should try to bury them in the proper way, because to give them the respect as if they are alive. Exactly. Yes. Because there, sometimes you understand when you go wash the dead people, there is certain signs will show up in their faces as a result of the haram or the bad things they used to do. You will see that his face gets, like you understand, so not swollen, but you know, like when somebody, huh?
Frown?
Yeah, frown. Okay. In other people, that he sees them after they die, you almost see like a smile in their face. You see light on their face. Okay. So if it happens that you see something, and this is the reason that not anybody go watch the dead people. Okay. That a person, a trustworthy person. So in case he see anything, he shouldn't reveal anything. Because again, like understand, protecting the Muslim, regardless of a life or not exposing the people saying or talking about them. So we have to understand that the respect and the honor for the Muslim, regardless if he's alive or dead, is still there. Yes, please. The next hadith, hadith number 468. وعن أبي سعد ابن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ألحدوا لي لحدا وانصبوا علي اللبن نصبا كما صنع برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه مسلم. Didn't forget. That Abu Sa'id, may Allah be pleased with him, Ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, that means he asked them, that when I die, make a lahd for me. And sit up undead bricks. Okay, the same way been done to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lahd, okay, the digging, wherever you bury the dead person, this you call the whole thing called grave, okay, or qabr. The lahd is digging in the side of the grave towards the qibla, okay, niche. Will be in the form like letter L. Try to give you a basic idea what's going to look like if I can. Inshallah, maybe we have to do a janazah workshop here one day. We can watch a videotape by Sheikh Adli. He made two janazah tape. We can look to one of them. If you imagine that this is the grave, that we dig it like this, okay? This is the way how the grave. You standing here at the top. So this is the grave now, okay? This is the grave, like a U shape. So now when you go down on the floor here, the bottom, you will come and make something like this. You see how it's going to be? So it's going to be going in like this. Okay? So this is what you call it lahd. And the dead person, you will put him on his side inside here. I should make something a prophet with me. Oh, thank you. JazakAllah khair. But they tie me down here. I can watch my activities. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, brother. Please give me something.
This is the way you're standing here. This is the surface of your ground. Okay? And this is the people standing here. Okay, and this is your car, and so we start to digging down here. Okay, we start to digging. We go down here about 4 feet or 5 feet. Is it clear to everybody? Now, after you reach down here, as I said, this is the surface of the ground. So now, after we went down here about 5 feet, you will come here, and this is the direction of the Qibla. You're standing here now, you start to dig here. So it's going to be look like this. So when you bring the dead person, you will lay him down here. You'll be laid down here. And after this, you're going to put your bricks here. So now when you go up out of the grave and you throw this dirt down back here, you are not throwing anything on him. You got the idea?
Just explain that he will be long way.
Yes, he's actually laying down like this. Okay? Okay.
The last
thing
that you
said is the last. Okay. The height of the lahd, okay? Can you imagine if you put yourself in a box, wooden box, laying down on your right side? Okay? That you're laying down. So, you're talking about 1 foot width, about 1.5 foot height, approximately, okay? The depth is maybe about 1 foot off. Okay? And after this, you will come here and put the bricks in front of this person from the outside. And you close all this. Okay? So now when you throw this dirt back here, there's nothing actually falling in him. So this called lahd. Okay? This called lahd.
Like a small chain.
Exactly. Okay? This chamber will be in the direction of the Qibla. So the person will be laying down on his right side facing the Qibla. Okay? Inshallah we can make a detail one day about this. So here Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he asking his companions or his family that they do to him in this manner, that to do lahd and to put the big cover the lahd with, and after this he said, because this is the way that the grave of Rasulullah has been done to him, and this hadith is authentic. ولمسلم رحمه الله نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقصص القبر وأن يقعد عليه وأن يبنى عليه. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbid the grave to be plastered or to sit on it or to build on it. We have to remember that the purpose of the grave only to bury our dead people, and also that this grave to serve the purpose of reminder for the live people. So it's no plastering, no build, no anything. It's supposed to be some kind of a reminder about how it's going to be your end. Not that you go painting and fixing it and all these things. It's nothing but a dirt. Maximum you're going to put some, what you call crush run, or what do you call this? Gravel, and not to be more than 1 foot from the ground. Not to say foot even, because shibr. Shibr is less than a foot. One hand space. This is the maximum, okay? Now, remember now, we took all this dirt out first, okay? So now we throw this dirt back again. Alright? It come to here. But you remember we took here for the lahm some dirt from here. So that means after you cover here, it's still more dirt which came from here, is it? Now when you take this dirt and you put it in the tub in a way of a hump like this. No. Where is the person is here? And dug the hole, okay? Where you dug the hole. Okay? Because even though you know the dirt will go down more. So you put this stuff like this, okay? Here. And now you can put some crunch sand or whatever you call pebbles here to make it more, and will be the grave looking actually in the tub. The surface like a hump here. Okay? You don't go make any kind of blocks, buildings and things like this, or make like stones or stones or writing or anything. You can mark the grave with a regular stone. And this is, okay, so the people can know that, but not this kind of stones that the people sell, professional stones, we are not talking about. That means any bit of rock that you take it and you put it there. So the people know that this is grave, nobody can step on it. Okay?
What about you like breaking out somebody? Now, let's say the Muslim graveyard was like, let's say 100 people here. And maybe it's 20 years later or something. How are you going to know which one, like when you buried somebody maybe 20 years ago? This is no name and just a stone and maybe God.
Okay, what actually is the benefit of knowing who is who?
You know who you're going to visit.
Okay, what you visit? You're going to shake hands with him? It's the soul. There's a communication between you and that you're making dua. You're making dua and it's not only my sister or my mother or my father. All these Muslims, you understand, they need your dua. So Rasulullah was not making dua for... No. He was giving the salam to all the people and making dua for everybody. Okay? Because Islam made your brother, your real brother, is the Muslim. Not your real brother is the one came from your mother and your father. Because if your blood brother, he is not practicing Islam, is not Muslim, he's not your brother in actuality. Your brother is the Muslim brother. So he deserves your dua. So now whosoever doesn't matter in this grave. And I'm not going, you understand, to go to visit so and so. I'm going number one, you understand, for me. Because I need the correction, need for me to start to think about what's going to be happening to me later on, to prepare myself for this future, you see. And at the same time that I'm making invocation. So it doesn't matter if I come close, you understand, with 1 foot or 10 foot. And what about even if you say, okay, this is the grave of my sister. But do you know that in some places after certain years, they come and remove all this, which is not even bones left there. They clean the body to start, and other people been buried over one. So you think, oh, this man, my father is here. It's not your father, it's other people been. So it doesn't matter, I understand that whosoever there, or I have to know. But we have to follow the sunnah before we follow our emotion. The sunnah, that is no writing, that is no building, that is no anything of this nature. Yes. If there is a need for using the same place, yes, it can. And if there is a need like a time of wars, as example, and more people that like we mentioned last class, that Rasulullah buried two people in the same time in the same grave. So it goes back to if there is a need or no. Yeah. And Allah knows it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade to bluster in the grave or to sit on it or to build anything on it. But the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 469. Wow. I was taking my time and throwing the weapon. I have to see this. وعن عامر بن ربيعة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى على عثمان بن مضعون وأتى القبر فحتى عليه ثلاثة حتيات وهو قائم. وعن عثمان. I think I made a mistake with this hadith. حديث. وعن عامر بن ربيعة. You hold it, please. This hadith reported by Amr, hadith number 469 in the collection of Imam Dara Qutni, and the hadith is weak. Hadith is weak. Hadith number 470 عن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا فرغ من دفن الميت وقف عليه وقال استغفروا لأخيكم وتلوا له التثبيت فإنه الآن يسأل. This hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم when he used to finish from burying a dead Muslim, he used to wait, or he stood by the grave and he say to the people with him, ask Allah forgiveness for your brother and ask Allah to firm him with the proper answer, because now he is questioned, being questioned. Okay, that means as soon he goes in the grave and the people did not even leave yet, the angels will come and question him. Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, who's your Lord, what is your religion? Okay. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encourages the Sahaba to pray and make dua for this person and about the forgiveness. And what is the most important here is to give him tasbih. Because the scene of the angels is sufficient to make the person be troubled. So it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he did not give him the assistance to be able to answer, he's not going to be able. And this is the reason the Prophet وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْأَلُوا لَهُ التَّكْبِيرِ, beg Allah to firm him that he not be scared by seeing the angels and he could not answer. And the hadith is authentic. وعن دمرة ابن حبيب أحد التابعين قال كانوا يستحبون إذا توى على الميت قبر وانصرف الناس عنه أن يقال عند قبر يا فلان قل لا إله إلا الله. The hadith is weak. Hadith 471 is weak. We leave it alone. Hadith number 472, page 202. وعن بريدة الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها. I had forbid you before to visit the grave, so visit it. Okay, so this like you say abrogation. And there is a addition, the hadith as is in the collection of Imam Muslim and is authentic. The addition which comes by Tirmidhi is weak. Okay? كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها. I had forbid you before to visit the grave, but now it is permissible for you to visit it. Authentic. Hadith number 473. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن دائرات القبور أخرجه الترمذي. Hadith number 473. The hadith is weak. Hadith Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, Sa'id al-Khudri, la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an na'iha, is weak. Hadith number 473 is weak. Hadith 474, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النائحة is weak. So again, in case I made a mistake, hadith number 472, the beginning of the hadith is authentic. The addition which by Ibn Majah is weak. Right? Hadith 473 reported by Abu Huraira is weak. Hadith number 474 reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood is weak. Hadith number 475 وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أخذ علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا ننوح متفق عليه. This hadith reported by أم عطية, it is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم took a promise from us that we don't wail. Okay, that mean like be screaming and making noise after the dead people and saying words that is not supposed to be said, because this is forbidden. This from the behavior of Jahiliyyah, that when great calamity happens, they pull their hair, they cut their clothes, they be saying bad words, okay, or they making screaming and all these things. This from the manner of Jahiliyyah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took a ahd or bay'ah or whatever you want to call it.
Pledge.
Okay? That we don't do this when we be tested by a calamity or somebody die, as example. Page 203, hadith number 476. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الميت يعذب في قبره بما نيح عليه. متفق عليه. That the dead person will be punished in the grave as a result of the wailing on him. How come? Because the family is the responsibility of the father or the husband. If he did not teach his family the proper way, the proper Islam, how to act in time of calamity, now they're doing this, now he gets the punishment, because whatever they're doing was as a result of neglecting his family. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dead person will get punished as a result of the wailing of his family. The hadith is authentic.
Suppose,
like in my family, my parents are not Muslim. Mm-hmm.
When they come to the
film,
they know
about the food, and the food. Okay, this is on them, inshallah. Yeah. Hadith number 477. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدت بنتا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تدفن ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس عند القبر فرأيت عينيه تدمعان. that Anas said, I was present while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his daughter was buried. And the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw tears coming out of his eyes. This shows you there is a difference between sadness, feeling bad, crying, and wailing. This is two different things, okay? So this shows also the permissibility of crying or tears coming of the eyes as a result of your beloved die. Hadith number 478. An Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. وعن جابر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تدفنوا موتاكم بالليل إلا أن تضطروا. أخرجه ابن ماجه وأصله في مسلم. This hadith which reported by Jabir, the hadith is authentic, and it is in the collection of Ibn Majah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, don't bury your dead by night, except if you have to. It can be, this is my gift in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, this is a dislike to bury the dead person by night, okay? That the permissibility or the proper time is during the day. Something like, maybe a person have a bad odor, bad smell, okay, or that person is bleeding too bad, and okay, that as much you rub him itself, something like, it can be like emergency is like this, you understand?
So if you're in
fight,
like that. You can
wait until the summer, except there's no emergency. As example, okay, that maybe by leaving it, that the enemies will take these bodies and or things like this. There is a necessity of that you have to do this at night. Yeah. Page number 204, hadith number 479. وعن عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لما جاء نعي جعفر حين قتل قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اصنعوا لآل جعفر طعاما فقد أتاهم ما يشغلهم. أخرجه الخمسة. And the hadith is حسن. This hadith shows us that we should be taking care of the family, that they have this that they lost their beloved one. You see, when the news of Ja'far's death came, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, prepare food for Ja'far's family, for they have heard something that preoccupies them, okay? That, you know, when some people hear bad news about their family, that they do not have the appetite to eat, the busy preparing the dead body, all these things. So the duty of the other Muslims, the neighbors and things like this, that they try to prepare food and take it to them and make them eat or something like this. Unfortunately, that he found in overseas in many places that the family of the deceased person are the one stuck with this. They are the one who preparing meals for all this visitors and all the people coming and all the things, okay? And this is not the proper way. The proper way is that you as Muslim community or Muslim neighbors, and you know that your Muslim neighbor, something happened to him, that a way of sympathize in his calamity or try to make things easy on him and try to fulfill your obligation towards him, that you prepare meal for them and take it to them. And the hadith is classified to be hasan, it's good. وعن سليمان ابن بريدة عن أبيه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمهم إذا خرجوا إلى المقابر أن يقولوا السلام على أهل الديار من المؤمنين والمسلمين وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية رواه مسلم. Okay. Now you see عبد المعز رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم teaching them when they got the grave to say assalamu alaikum, may the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on you, all the dwellers of the houses from the believers and the Muslims. It was not only because my uncle, my father, all the Muslims, okay? The authority that his father, that messenger of Allah used to teach the companions to say when they went to the cemeteries, peace be upon you, inhabitants of the dwellings who are of the members of the believers and Muslims. If Allah wills, we shall join you. We ask Allah to grant us and you well-being. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَكُمُ الْعَافِيَةِ. Okay? This is one of the ways that to teach us how to greet and make dua to the dead people. Okay? Say, assalamu alaykum, assalamu ala ahli al-diyar, min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimin. Assalamu ala ahli al-diyar, min al-muslimin, min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimin. Al-diyar is a plural for dar, dar like a house. Okay? Because this is their dar, this is their houses, this is their living place, okay? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for them to come out. من المؤمنين والمسلمين وإن إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون. Also you remind yourself about that you're going to join them soon, okay? نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us and for you, okay, will be. Hadith number 481 and the hadith reported by Ibn Abbas in the collection of Tirmidhi, and the hadith is hadith number 482. Which one we with? The one I'm going to read now, 482. Okay. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبور المدينة فأقبل عليهم بوجهه فقال السلام عليكم يا أهل القبور يغفر الله لنا ولكم أنتم سلفنا ونحن بالأثر. رواه الترمذي وقال حسن. This hadith is حسن لغيره. Okay, it's good as a result of supported by other narration. The hadith reported by Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by the grace of Medina, and he turned his face towards him and say assalamu alaikum ya ahl al-qubur, may Allah grant forgiveness for us and for you, you are our salaf and we coming behind you, peace be upon you inhabitants of the grave, may Allah forgive us and you have gone before us and we are coming after you. Hadith Hasan لغيره. hadith before the last. Or the hadith, the last hadith. Hadith number 482. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا. Hadith is reported by Aisha in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet said, don't curse the dead because they already had gone or they had faced whatever they had sinned before them. Do not reveal the dead, for they have reached what they have sinned before them. So this hadith, Rasulullah sallam teaching us the proper manner towards the Muslims, that we are not supposed to curse them, we are not reveal their secrets, okay? Especially we're talking about the Muslims, or the Muslims that we know that they were doing something bad and they made repentance before they die, that we are not supposed to be talking about them ill, because whatever they did, okay, now they are facing it. So talking about them now is not going to help anything. So we shouldn't be involved in their history from whatever bad or curse them or things like this to mention anything about what they did. In another narration, which by At-Tirmidhi said, فَتُؤْذُوا الْأَحْيَاءَ, because this will cause disturbance for the living one. Okay? Because maybe some relatives of this person in this gathering or some friends or whatever it is. So you are not really doing anything to the dead person by now you disturbing the living one. So that we should refrain from cursing or talking bad about the Muslims after they die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. How much time is there? Approximately 15 minutes. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Okay. Inshallah we'll finish the janaza. And our next class inshallah is going to be about the zakah. We're still keeping our class to be after Isha, regardless whatever time is the Iqamah. So if the Iqamah next week is going to be at 7 as a dumbbell, so our class will be start immediately after Salat al-Isha. Yes, sir. I have no information or concerning limitation of how long. As long as there is a necessity for keeping the body. As example, you're waiting for somebody to come from other town and this person is relative which is rich person and you know that the person will pass away, he owe people money. Because the debt is a prevention of the person getting his possession of his reward or whatever can prepare for him. So we delayed him for something like this as example until somebody would come and pay his debt. Okay? Whatever money that he owe the people. If there is no necessity, we bury him immediately. If there is a necessity, as example, like nowadays you could not bury the person until they make sure that this was a natural death, as example, that nobody poisoned him. Okay? So until this investigation takes place, you have to keep. But it's not any time to show how much time, but you shouldn't keep it until that smell. No, I don't know about any limitation to show three. I didn't ever see any information about it. The information that I'm familiar with that you should rush it. And the only thing, as I said, if there is a reason to delay it, and the delay can be an hour, can be a day, Allah knows best how long.
But, the person dies and they owe you money, and you relieve them of the debt.
yes, this will be something good of you. Yes, if you do this, this is possible. Is that will Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, usually his habit, he used to ask the Sahaba, does this man owe anybody money? If they said to him yes, he said, you pray on him. He doesn't pray on the people. If they doing something like owing people money, he said, you pray on him. And one time one of the Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, I will pay his debt. He said, you sure? You taking care of it? You been it? He said, yes, it's on me. He said, okay, now the Prophet ﷺ, he went and he prayed on him. So if it's your right and you want to release it, this is something good, inshallah.
I mean, not even if he has, but let's say he has good intention, he wants to pay his debt.
Uh-huh.
But then he dies. So he doesn't deserve the Prophet to pray on him. Is that, I mean,
as long as the debt is not been paid, no. Now if he have inherited, okay, we can take from inheritance and pay it. If you have some property that we can take it and sell it, it can be done. If somebody said, members of the community said, I will take it on me, this is good.
So this is obligating for me not to get in debt.
We shouldn't, I explained this last week, that we shouldn't, not we shouldn't, that we have to try our best not to get in debt except there is something, a necessity in our life. Because sometimes we get in debt, you understand, because we like something or want, like I said, somebody have a car, 89, and it's running good and everything, but you understand, because his position in the company or whatever, he doesn't, he feels bad to go with a car like this, you see. So he go now and owe money, and borrow money, so he can have something, he look good in front of the people there. It's not the way it is.
Say you
know,
you're
rent for the debt, you know, part of the bills, like that. It is a thing. It is. It's a thing. If I go kill a kafir for no just reason, it's still a killing. If I stole the money of a kafir for no just reason, it's still a killing. Doesn't matter who you do it to, you see. When Islam says stealing, adultery, all these things, he didn't say for Muslim or not Muslim. Did not make difference about this. Okay? Yes. As I said, this is a new subject, and some of the scholars, they said yes, and some of the scholars said no, you could not do it. So it's not something that we can pinpoint from Quran and Hadith, but even the people who have the Hadith, and they say this is our evidence that the Prophet ﷺ said that when you break the bone of the dead, like breaking it while it's alive. Other people said, yes, if you do it intentionally out of disrespect, okay? But you are not breaking it for purpose of breaking it. You're taking it to help another Muslim or another human being. So as I said, the scholars are different about this subject, and Allah knows best. If he left inherited, if he left the property, no, you are not responsible about his the money that you owe the people. But if he left the amount of money before you get your share, it's supposed to be this thing. And if you one of the heirs or whatever you call it after him to benefit from this, it is your duty to pay his debt before you get whatever that's supposed to be for you. But you don't carry his sin. Yes. No, okay. Please, brothers and sisters, there is nothing called a stupid question or silly question.
No.
We have to learn about our deen.
Right.
My question is, say for instance you have like a dead person in the jail, and if you said, I want to donate my liver to somebody when I die, and they're giving me a certain amount of money, can you take that, get the money and pay for the death like that?
No. Number one, your body is not yours, you understand, for you to sell it and these things, okay? This is the trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to take care of it. Now, you're selling something that is not actually supposed to be sold originally. So this is issue, understand, about donating and the liver and the kidney and all the stuff. This is something that is the best for me to say Allah knows best about it. And it's
Clarify
before
that some people sell their blood, you know,
right.
Fever or whatever.
They need a scholar,
not a student of
knowledge. I don't remember, maybe you're talking about selling the blood, you understand, like, and eating the blood of animals and selling things like that, but I don't know there is hadith about a human being blood or a human being liver, anything like this. Not to my knowledge. Okay. Allah knows best.
In hadith number 477, it says, in the Lord's messenger was sitting beside the grave, and this is his door is buried. And you said
there's
something about sitting beside the grave.
It
was supposed
to sit by the grave. Not to sit on.
When you said while he was burying it, you couldn't sit down.
Okay, until they put the janazah down. Okay? Some of the scholars understood, put the janazah down, that you take it from your shoulder or the, whatever it is, that you carry and put it on the ground here. And some they understood to put it down, that means to put it under in the grave, okay? So he was sitting, okay, like waiting for the preparation, like it takes time, understand, digging the grave 2-3 hours, taking the dirt out and all the things. So he's sitting waiting. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Because mostly the women more emotion, okay? And sometimes they are not able to control their emotion, so this is the reason they shouldn't be in. But visiting the grave in general is recommended for men and women. Okay? Because it's to remind us about the hereafter and about what's going to be happening to us and all these things. But following the janazah, because it tells something like what you may use the fear, something fresh is just happening. Okay? So the women in their nature that more emotion than the men, and this will cause them to be crying and maybe wailing and all these things, and also the possibility of the mixing and being in the presence of the men, they understand what she's going to bury the dead person. Yes. No, but one of his daughters, but I don't know who specifically. We can look for it, inshallah. I don't know if is it a daughter. No, he said a daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only thing that we have to go back to the original, where the hadith was, which was in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, and after this, we look under the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, the book called Fath al-Bari, which explains, and sometimes they give more explanation about things like this. But I don't see it here in the book that I have with the family. Alright, inshallah, we can close here, and I was thinking about giving you some general running about I think it's good enough for today, inshallah. This is not the sunnah about preparing the grave in advance and people buying the kafan in advance and things like this. So, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't telling us for us to be wishing for the death, you see.
No,
so
what I'm saying is that statement to the person is already dead. Like Hadith read 477, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting there waiting while they were getting to the beginning of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is the person already dead. Can you like?
Oh yeah. So, not because some people they go dig the grave. We understand whenever they die, the grave there is prepared. This is not the proper way, but yes, somebody already passed away, so by the time I understand we washing and wrapping and other people coming to carry him, if somebody go and prepare the grave, it will be okay. Yeah. Alright, Jazakumullah khairan for coming, and may Allah bless you all, and may Allah grant us forgiveness and mercy and repentance before our death, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.